Hello and welcome back to the Sunday Podcast, presented by sportsshoes.com. I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
Every Sunday we get together with a guest from the distance running world,
giving you an insight into the lives and training of some of the UK's best athletes and coaches.
You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and all major podcast streaming services.
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Sunday Podcast, where we post about our past and present guests, host giveaways and much more.
Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoy the episode.
Welcome back, guys. This week's guest is Callie Thackeray. Callie's based out in Australia and she just ran a new 5,000 metre personal best of 15.09. It's a world qualifying time and it puts her top of the British rankings. Enjoy.
Hello, yes, welcome back again, guys. As Lum says, Callie on this week. Big topics we spoke about is how did she end up in Australia? Who's she coached by in Australia? And, you know, what her training and stuff has looked like the past couple of years and what her plans for the future are, because now she's run a world standard. She never thought she would do that in the 5K. And to be honest, there was a point where she was kind of questioning, does she have a life, you know, a career on the roads? Is she done with the 5K? So it's a very good podcast in that sense that kind of the lessons and the takeaways I picked up was, you know, never shut any doors. You know, Callie was out there preparing for a longer race, a half, a marathon, and she thought she'd use a 5K just to see how she's rolling. And she learned a lot of things. She learned she responds to maybe longer training. And obviously she learned that she's nowhere near done on the track yet and she can run 15.09. So it's kind of like if you're preparing for something, you know, don't write other things off and other opportunities off. So that was a cool story. And of course, you know, Callie is a very successful NCAA athlete. She was a part of the New Mexico women's team, which won 3 NCAA cross-country titles. You compare that to maybe the men now, you know, they were the equivalent of NAU. Currently, so an incredible program, and she talks a lot about that as well. She comes with a running background, her dad's a runner, she talks about that relationship, and yeah, like I say, just, you know, her future in the sport, and especially kind of like, you know, how she managed to carry on running out in Australia when her intentions were just to go traveling. So that's a very cool story. But yeah, look, enjoy the podcast. Once again, have a good week, get out for a nice long run. Track season is coming, which means a lot more episodes, you know, reviews, previews and whatnot. So yeah, take care and we'll catch you next week.
Right, first off, Callie, welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you on. And congrats on the 15.09 the other day.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Yeah, so how did it settle in? 15.09, how did it come about?
15.09, how did it come about? Well, two weeks before, I did a 5K and I ran like 15:26 to start with. And I'd honestly not tapered for this race. I didn't really put too much thought into it because I was like, oh, it's my first like proper track session back, like just a rust buster. We'll see how it goes. And I'd actually done like a full marathon week because my original plan was to do the Manchester Marathon. I was like, I'll just feel good in this race and see how I feel. And then, yeah, I ran like 15:26 and I was like, oh, wait, I didn't taper for that. So hopefully, like, if I can do another one, I can actually do better. And the marathon went out the window in the end. And I just figured that I want to give it another good go on the track. And yeah, so a few weeks later, I changed my whole plan and ended up running the nationals here in Australia, and it's just an amazing race. I was very lucky, like, to be a part of that race. It was just incredible. Like Eloise Wellings, who's one of the, you know, top Australians here for over all distances, really. Like, I think she made like 3 or 4 Olympics, and she's just recently ran 2:25 in the marathon. Wow. So she paced the whole race, not the whole race, but like a lot of it, and then we just literally, it felt like training. It was just like a train of us. And I would say like 4 of us were attached to her. And we just like lap by lap, like just honestly, like the way I raced it, I just felt like a good training session. I just felt in control. And the last few laps, yeah, really, we got down to it. And when I saw the clock there, I'm not going to lie, like I was completely shocked. Like I was so shocked. I was like, no, that did not just happen. There's no, like, even though I've believed in myself for a long time and I knew it was there, But to actually do it, and to do it when you kind of needed to do it, because that was our last race here. And then I didn't know what was going to go on after that. Like, I kind of needed to prove myself for me to catapult forward. It was a good race.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was going to ask next was, were you aware of the splits at all as you were going along, like how quick it was?
I heard them announce it a few times, like, oh, they're going on for 15 pace. And I was like, okay. I was like, wow, okay, because I actually feel really good. So this is so positive. And I just knew I needed to keep on the lead pack and I would be okay. And that's what I tried to do, really.
So why me and Lam, we always think people move to the marathon a little bit too early. They get the sights down. And it sounds like you were about to do the same. And obviously, just by chance, you kind of had a good 5K and then really attacked the second one. Why were you planning on moving to the marathon?
Do you know what? Like, for so long though, for years and years, everyone, like all my family, a lot of like different coaches who have looked at me and seen my biomechanics and seen my past, like my history with my dad and all of these things, they look at me and think marathon runner. And I do believe that one day I will transition to the marathon. And I have been, it's been on my mind for a while, but deep down, I do love the track. Like, I think that's my passion right now. And like, I want to like make the most of that while I can. And it's just took a while for me to like get back to how I was at New Mexico. But after New Mexico, I did end up signing with a marathon group in Washington, D.C. So I ended up going with this marathon group for 1 year. And he was the same. He was looking at me and he was like, you're a marathon runner. Right. And at this point, I was 25 and he's like, look, the clock's ticking for you. Like you're not going to make it on the track now. Like, you've not only got a bit of time left, like you need to do something a lot more special, like if you're going to make it on the track. Mm. And I was like, so we just had different visions for each other. Like, we just, had completely different visions, but I still deep down, like hoped I would, you know, show true form, I guess, on the track. And I managed to finally, it only took a few years, like 5 or 6 years, but here I am. I managed to crack it. So I'm like finally feeling good again. And
You really did. Do you think having that, you know, different focus, like, you know, kind of telling yourself you were preparing for a marathon, do you think that took the pressure off the track, kind of chasing that goal, that special performance you were looking for?
Yeah, I do. I think it's like bittersweet, isn't it, really? Like, now I'm like, oh, wow. Okay, so to be a good 5K runner, I need to do marathon training. Like, not ideal, but it is what it is. And I guess I was never doing enough before. Now I'm realizing that actually to make it to this level, like, I do need to have like a really strong base. But like during COVID, like, it was like, I don't know, really, with the whole, I looked back at my training and I did have like a 6 month period where I was just training and there was no races here. Mm. And then I ended up getting injured because of it. But at the same time, it's going to sound weird, but I think the injury and everything afterwards, what happened, like the rest and putting myself, just like putting running on the back burner and having this rest made me like put things in perspective. And after my injury, when I got back, I was just so more motivated than ever. And yeah, I was able to string in some like good sessions and like get back to it and perform some good. Yeah, I guess that 6 month training block, like that 6 month training block, what I did didn't go anywhere. And yeah.
So do you think that, you know, you just touched on it then about maybe having to continue that kind of marathon training in order to compete and be good at 5K. So were you under training at all, or were you just not quite getting it right?
You know what though, like the marathon training and track 5K, 10K kind of training, there's not actually a whole big difference. Right. Like, I really just, I kind of, if I look back at my weeks, like I guess I just did that bit more. So yeah, yes and no. Like, it did definitely build up a really strong base because of it. Like, I was just doing like really like long runs. My long run was a 2.5 hour run, typically. And then my sessions, I was at doing two major sessions. So one on the Tuesday, which was just like a classic, you know, track session. And then the Friday was like a big threshold session, like really big, like 20 Ks of effort, probably, like all in all. And then I was just doing that repetitively week in, week out with no races. So I was never able to taper. So, but it did make me tough. Like, and then when I was able to race again properly this season, I feel like I banked all of that. And yeah,
it's an interesting point. Do you think sometimes, I guess, like pre-COVID, do you think athletes maybe over-raced a little bit?
I don't know. Do you know what? If I would have chose over-racing over that any day, though. Like, I was looking at everyone racing all over, like, in Europe and everything. And I'm just stuck in Melbourne. Like, literally couldn't get out even if I wanted to. So, yeah, like, I don't know. I wouldn't have chose that path. But I'm just so grateful to be racing again now. And I'm just doing what I love. I mean, this is what you do it for, you know? Like, you do it so you can actually, yeah, race. Training is all well and good and you can get strong, but you want to be able to prove all your fitness and your hard work and some good races as well.
Sure. Like, you touched upon it yourself. I think it has been 5 years, 2017, since the PB before. Like, what a lesson in perseverance. Like, was there a point when, like you say, obviously you thought about the marathon. Did you really think, oh, I won't PB in the 5K again?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I did and I didn't. I knew there was a lot left. I knew I could do a lot more. I remember when I kept running 15:37 for a while, like around that time, and that felt good. And I knew there was like that race what just needed to click for me. But doing it, like actually saying I can do it and doing it, is just two different things. And yeah, it's been a long. It really has been a journey, like the last few years, to try and get back to like getting some consistency. In my training and my racing, but the setbacks have definitely made me tough in a way. Like, that has been quite, it's been, and because of the journey and the setbacks, I think now it's just made me tougher and it's made me more appreciative of just being healthy and happy and being in an amazing like training environment again.
You talk about the setbacks. What setbacks is it? Injuries or illnesses, or run us through a couple.
Yeah, there's been a few. I mean, when I first got here, so I moved out here in 2019, and then there was the bushfires and stuff, like when I first got here. So a lot of the training camps what we were going to go on, they got cancelled, like things like what were out of my control, like just weird things that just kept happening. Obviously then the pandemic happened, and there was literally just hardly any races. When I think about the last 2 years, like there's been like hardly any races out here for me to really get involved in, like especially over the last year. And yeah, different setbacks, I guess, like just a few illnesses and just not been something happening at the wrong time. And and now it's like finally I've got like this string of like this training in, and I'm able to actually like do like the races are finally like matching up with my training, and it just took a long time to get to that point. But
yeah I can imagine it being frustrating. I mean, now everything seems to be calming down a little bit. We're going to see you in the UK racing. Now you've run that, you know, that world champs qualifier, which you probably thought would never have happened, according to your Instagram post. So, you know, we're going to see you over in the UK anytime soon.
So I'm going to do the Birmingham Diamond League next month, and then I figured I might as well just stick around and do the world trials as well. Like, just give it a go. Why not? Like, it's a few weeks after, so. It'll be just good to go home. It's been 2.5 years. So I'm looking forward to, see everyone and get back home, I guess.
Absolutely. Where is home for you then?
It's in Sheffield.
Sheffield, yeah. Okay. And you're going to have like a good little training setup when you get back then. Good enough.
Yeah, that's my next question. I really don't. Yeah, I'm trying to figure that out. So I'll do the race. And then I'll have like 4 or 5 weeks between the next one. So I'm just like trying to figure that out, like whether a lot of my group here, the MTC group, they're all based, a lot of them, when they go to the UK, they go to Teddington. So I was thinking of going, maybe, I don't know, doing some training there. Or I actually, have connections with Vince and Sam, and she's been running really well. So yeah, so I might do some training with Sam Harrison. Sorry about my dog.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, right. So you mentioned MTC. I didn't realize you were part of the Melbourne Track Club, actually.
Yeah, they've been amazing. It was, I had to like shoot my shot before I moved out here and just message the great Nick Bordeaux, and just, yeah, I think he's the, just to me, he's, yeah, the top agent and coach. Like, his track record speaks for itself, doesn't it? So I messaged him and was just like, he's probably not going to message back. He's going to look at this message and be like, but I was like, oh, I can only say no, or I can only not message me back. So I sent him my whole bio, the poor guy, like he must have got like the biggest bio, like, and then I just got like one sentence back just saying, are you related to Carl Thackeray? And I was like, oh, thank you, dad. So yeah, I was like, yeah, that's my dad. And he was like, oh, he was like, message me when you're in Australia. So yeah, it just went from there, really.
Wow. So let's just rewind a little bit. What made you go to Australia in the first place? Like, what kind of brought you out there?
It was really random. So I'd obviously been in America for 5 years, and then I did all that, and then I came back to England, and I was like, okay, now what? Like, I guess now I have to like do, like, I have to be an adult. Like, I've got to get a full-time job, do my running on the side. Just, and my running took a hit because of it. You know, it's just hard. It's really difficult trying to do full-time work, and, you know, I was saving for a house and going down that route. And yeah, so anyway, in the end, fast forward that part, like, I bought the house. But then I was just like, okay, now what though? Like, now what? Like, I've been in America, seen all what I've seen, like, traveled all around the States, like, doing all these like top races, been with an amazing team and coach, and everything was, you know, like, there for me. Like, all the tools were there, everything. It was just an amazing thing. And it was, so I was always like, for a while, I was missing something. Well, I was missing that. And it was actually my sister, who, she was going through that time in her life, you know, when you turn the ripe old age of 18 and you're like, oh, what do I do now? Like, directionless, like me, I guess. And I was like, honestly, the best thing you can do is just completely go out of your comfort zone and go to the other side of the world. Like, there's nothing better, like, to get out of your comfort zone and to gain independence than to just like go somewhere, like, experience another culture and do something, just, yeah. And in the end, I just said to her, like, go on a gap year, go somewhere. And she was like, all right, yeah, you know what, like, I really fancy Australia. And so I took her to the travel agents, and we went, and honestly, like, it was a 5-minute form, and she got a 1-year visa granted there and then. So I had this light bulb moment. And wow. I was like, oh, wait a minute. Like, I didn't realize how easy it was just to gain a visa. So I kind of like hijacked her trip for a whole gap year. And I was like, Eloise, like, do you mind if I come as well? Yeah. And I just, and yeah, there and then I pretty much decided that I would just at least try, because I've been in America for 5 years. So what's a few months in Australia? I was just planning on going for a few months and thought, oh, I'll just see how it is over there. I've never been to that side of the world before. Why not? Like, so I had this, yeah, I just sat down and was like, oh, I need a good group now. Figure it out. Like, there was something missing at home, and I just wanted to like give it a good go. So I messaged Nick.
This is an incredible story. So when you obviously went out there not to really travel with your sister, because I would have thought someone who plans on traveling isn't going to make time for running, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of wanted to just, yeah, experience another, I don't know, do what I did in America but somewhere else.
Obviously, you said as well, like, Nick had said to you to message when, once you're out there, so it's not like you'd agreed with him before, like, oh, I'll come and train full-time with the group. So you obviously went out there before. How long did it take before you sort of got in with the MTC crew?
Honestly, as soon as I got there, I just gave him the message. I'm like, I'm here. And he was like, okay, training, and he said the time, he said the place. I turned up and yeah, met the whole group, and honestly they made me feel so welcome, like from the get-go. They were just like just greeting me, and I honestly, it went from there, and I turned up to every session, and yeah, it was brilliant. Like such a good team dynamic, such good team dynamics, and very welcoming and supportive. Yeah, I'm very, very grateful to have been training with this group for as long as I have now. And it's, I keep joking around saying like I'm like the pebble on Nick's shoe, and I was saying recently, I was like, I'm at least now I'm hoping that I'm not like just a pebble anymore. I'm like at least a rock, like a quartz or something. Like, but no, like I don't think he expected me to be here this long. I was supposed to be here probably for a few months, but yeah, it's been like 2.5 years. So.
Right, and COVID obviously kind of made you stay. You planned to return home, did you?
Yeah.
You stay, and now you kind of sounds like you've almost built a life there, and you don't plan on really leaving anymore.
Yeah, COVID definitely changed things for sure. My mum, when it was first going off, like she's like ringing us and was like, girls, you need to come back home. Like COVID, I can just see it being really bad, and you need to be in lockdown with your family. Don't get stuck there. And I was like, you kidding? Like life's doing pretty good here. I kind of don't want to be like in lockdown in my own house on my own back in England. Like, so... I was at Eloise. I will support that if Eloise wants to go back, my sister, but I'm going to stay. Yeah. And even though it was the longest lockdown in Melbourne in the world, like I am still glad I stayed, because it's resulted in, you know, this now. And I finally, yeah, stuck through it. I got through the worst of it. And now things are going really well here for me. But
yeah, you're starting to link back in with the group again now. And are you meeting up with Nick? How often do you meet up with Nick?
Yeah, so we have 3 major sessions during the week, the Tuesday, Thursday and Saturday session. So we meet as a group 3 times a week.
Sweet. So what's your like current setup looking like then? Obviously, like you're training the group, are you working at the same time, or are you just full-time in the running at the moment?
Yeah, so... pretty much I just want to make sure like any jobs I do at the side just don't take away from my running. And I really, that was my goal this year. I was like, I'm not going to say I'm one of those people who says yes to everything, and my running does take a hit for like because of it. So this year I just was like, I want to be like a full-time athlete again. I still do some work, like I do a lot of work with kids. I work with some, they call it NDIS, so it's just like kids with disabilities, but just other kids as well. Like I work with different families and do the school pickup after school, do activities with them in the afternoon. And I've got to know a few families who are really flexible with my schedule. So literally just do that at the side, and then yeah, do all my training sessions and my runs and everything around all of that. And it's been going really well. So
yeah, it sounds awesome. Sounds like a good little job to have on the side as well.
It's been good.
Yeah, obviously you're seeing the benefits now, obviously with the race the other day, and you're talking about how well your training's going. But was it hard at times to invest in your own running and yourself like that without the results to, I guess, back it up to some people?
Yeah, it's been a long, like I keep saying, it's been a long journey to get to this point. I just backed myself the whole time. I was like, you know what? It's another setback. Yeah, this is another setback, but there's a reason why I'm doing it. I just needed it to click. Like, and when it clicks, like that'll be it. Like I'll be able to get back to where I was. And finally this season, you know, it clicked. but yeah, it has been a battle, like to get to this point for sure.
And then having your dad, you know, a previous runner, has he kind of always encouraged you to get into running, or is it kind of a point like through those rough years, was he like, come on Callie, you got to stick with it, or was it kind of more stemming from yourself? I'm interested to know.
Yeah, my dad doesn't have a whole lot of input on it. He's more the laid back one. It's my mum was the one that's like, oh, what are you doing now? Ailish McColgan and people are doing this. You need to be doing this. Right. And I'm like, Mom, stay out of it. Like, I've been doing this a few years now. I know, like, I know. But my dad's, like, pretty much, like, just so laid back about the whole thing. It's just really, like, obviously he wants me to do well, but he wants me to enjoy it. Like, I think for him, like, he overtrained as well. Like, he trained like a crazy person, like, 3 times a day, like, most days and stuff. And was, if he could go back, like, I think, you know, he just knows now that less is more. So mm-hmm. he's always trying to say that to me. He's, like, always saying the key is the recovery. Like, the actual secret to, like, being successful is, like, yes, training hard, but recovering harder. And that's what he always says to me. And he just kind of wants me to just enjoy it for what it is and not take it too seriously, because you can kind of get, like I was, I guess. And, yeah.
No, that's awesome. So, you know, we've mentioned New Mexico a little bit. You're one of many who kind of went through that NCAA system. And you were kind of at New Mexico when it was probably the best college, the best university in the country, wasn't it? You won a stack of, like, NCAA team titles. You were exceptional on the cross. What top 20 finishes on the cross, or the top 10 even, for yourself? Talk us through, I mean, we always like to find out how you ended up at New Mexico and then your time there as well.
Yeah, New Mexico, if I could, honestly, if I could go back again, I would do the whole thing again. Like, it was just an incredible experience. Like, just everything, really. Just the states and, like, what they offer and the resources you have, it's just incredible. Like, you've got everything on your doorstep, you know, like, all the recovery devices, like, nutritionists, psychologists, you name it, we've got it. Like, it, and yeah, and just the team, my teammates were just amazing. Like, just an incredible team environment. I was very, very lucky. And then, yeah, my coach as well, obviously, Joe Franklin. Like, he was always known as the wizard, and he, yeah, I forever stand by that. Like, he just, it was. And because the thing is with the American coaching system, like, you can get over-raced out there and, like, overtrained, or, but Joe just, he knew how to give you sessions, like, individualize each person, set on there. Like, he looked at the bigger picture, and yeah, he was just, like, didn't give too much away. He just expected you to, you know, because I've always been one of those people, I don't need to be babied. Like, I just need you to set me the sessions and I'll get the job done. And he knew that about me too. So we just had a good relationship, and yeah, and he got me to where I was, and I'm very grateful. So yeah, it was a few years ago, and I'm sorry to him that it took so this long to get back to where I knew I could be and where he knew I could be. But right. I did get there. And to be honest, like, the training I do now with Nick is very, it's also really simple. Like, it's nothing like too crazy. It's very, if I think about it, it's not too different to what I was doing in New Mexico. It's just more volume. But yeah.
I've heard this about Nick. Obviously, I don't know for sure, but is it pretty much, yeah, the same work week on week on week? Workouts don't tend to change too much. And it is just kind of all geared around that consistency.
Pretty much, yeah. And that's all it really takes, isn't it? Like, just consistency. If you're able to, like, keep week by week, just getting some good sessions in and getting your head down and just simplifying it instead of complicating it, you can really... yeah, you can get back up there and then just believe you can do it and hope that it clicks. And
is 8x1K a staple session?
What's that?
8x1K, is that a staple session? I've heard that's kind of a go-to.
Staple session. How did you know that?
I think a lot of people in the running world know that one.
Do you have you worked out how many weeks you've had, like, uninterrupted, like, before the first 5K? Lot of consistency.
Before the first 5K. Do you know what? I got injured. So I had that crazy 6-month training block. And then I got injured must have been November, December. And I had 6 weeks off. But it was perfect time, to be honest, like, during Christmas period. I was like, do you know what? Like, I'm just going to be a normal person over Christmas and not have to get up and do a run and, like... So I did some, like, bucket list things, skydive, do jet ski tours, God. Slept on the pontoon on the Great Barrier Reef. Like, And it honestly, you put things in perspective for me. But I would say after that, I came back in January around my birthday. Yeah. So from January onwards, early January to now, has been very like consistent. Yeah.
A nice, like a good solid 12 weeks. You're also really selling Australia to a lot of people, you know. Christmas in Australia, Christmas in the warm, what was that like? Do you prefer it in the UK or do you think you've...
I love Australia. Like, it's has become home now. Like I did in America, I got very, like, it was my home away from home. And it's now, this is now happening with Australia. It's just incredible. I do love England though. Like, I do. Like, I know I'm never there, but I do love it. And I cannot wait to go back. Like, right. I've definitely made my home comfort.
I was going to say, what is it you kind of love so much about Australia? Obviously the weather must be a huge factor. Is there anything else?
I don't know. Do you know what? I'm just such a free spirit in life. Like, I really am. Like, I feel like I'm just one of those people, for me. Like, I'm not a homebody. Like, I do need to be, for me to succeed, I need to be doing stuff elsewhere. And
right.
And I do, yeah, I don't know what it is with me. Like, I am settled now. Like, that's the main thing. And I think that's why I'm actually doing all right, because I'm very settled. I've got a good routine. Yeah. And yeah, like, I'm able to be my free spirit and be in this crazy environment away from home. But at the same time, like, I've also got stability as well in this new place. So.
Absolutely. I just want to ask, like, with the two groups, obviously you're at MTC now and you're at New Mexico as well. And both groups are like, New Mexico is, you know, the best university in the country at the time. And MTC is like a world-class group. Have you kind of learned anything from the athletes in the group, and kind of who have you kind of looked up to at each kind of stage in your life?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I think that's it really. I think it's the people you surround yourself with, you know, as the saying goes, you're the sum of those around you. So I've been very, like, really fortunate to be with some incredible, like, athletes, you know, the likes of Alice Wright, Courtney Freericks, Brona Auckland, all of these, like, group of girls who I was training week on, week out with in New Mexico. And now, you know, doing incredible things still. And then the likes of now, Genevieve Gregson, yeah, she's pregnant at the minute, bless her, and she's gone through all of what she's gone through. But she embodies, like, what a good female leader should be. Like, she's just, to me, like, she's just, like, watching, like, following people like her and Sinead Diver. And I just think, yeah, it's been incredible. Like, you can't not succeed if you're with, I always say, if you can't beat him, join him. Like, and yeah, I've been very, very, very lucky to follow people like them and mimic them. And I think that's honestly a big part of, like, getting to this point again. Like, it's been surrounded by so many crazy talented athletes. But yeah, for me, it's people like Jen who, they do, honestly, every session, she does her last rep, like, she looks like she's doing her first. She just keeps so composed, and she's just, like, yeah, amazing, amazing person to follow. And yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you've spoken a lot in the pod about it being kind of a long journey. And I guess the time you ran the other day changes things for this season. And you talk about obviously planning on doing the world qualifiers and stuff. How does that work in with your Australian season? Because obviously normally it would be finishing up now. What was the plan originally? And I guess how does that change things in terms of what you do next?
Yeah, so I was, like I said, I was going to do the Manchester Marathon. I hope that I would get the early pick, you know, for one of the teams, for either, yeah, Europeans, Commies. And now my, like, plans have shifted completely, because I went all in on the track in the end. I don't know. I think it's put me in a good place, because I'm, yeah, it's early out here, but I feel like I've done the time now, so I'm happy. I've done the time, the commies standard twice. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I've ticked a box there. And now I'm just like just enjoying a good training block again. Not racing for a few weeks, getting some good training in, and then yeah, just enjoy being on a world stage again. It's been a long time, but I feel like I finally like earned my place now to be on a world stage, and I'm just excited to see what I can do and give it a good go and just enjoy it for what it is. So yeah, that's the plan now. Get a good training block and then go back to the UK. Hopefully do some good races there and see where it takes me in terms of making a team this year.
Well, like you mentioned, you know, Birmingham Diamond League, one eye on the Commonwealth. So you've obviously seen the new track.
I haven't. What? No, I haven't.
Oh, you haven't seen the new track? Oh my God, where have you been? Maybe.
It's all over Twitter.
I'm so out of the loop, aren't I? Like,
you're on the other side of the world. We'll let you off, but
you do you pay much attention to the UK, I guess, running scene at all, being out there, or do you kind of not bother?
I try to, but I'm also one of those that I don't like I don't like to live and breathe it too much either. Like I enjoy like sitting back from afar and seeing what's going on, but I don't like not too much. Mm. I think that's always worked for me in the past as well. Like, not to be ignorant, but before races, I don't like really like look at everyone's name who's on there. I just kind of just show up and just race for me. Like, that's how I've always been. And Joe Franklin and people have always known that about me. They're like, they always tell me that I need to underthink. Like, if I'm underthinking, I'm going to do well.
Right. Yeah, it's an interesting take.
With the training going into a champs, then obviously you mentioned that aspect, but will it change at all? Like, because like you said, you've got the time, you don't need to run it again. Obviously, like it's good to be in physical shape going into championships. Will it be more geared to getting a top two spot, or will it be pretty similar to what you've done before?
For the champs,
for the qualifiers, yeah.
For the qualifiers, yeah. I don't know. Do you know what? I've honestly not given it too much thought yet. I was just on the fence about, like, I was like, what do I do now? Like, yeah, obviously go back, just do the Diamond League, enjoy, you know, being on a class stage again and see where I can go. And then it wasn't, I told you, I'm so out of the loop. Like, it was actually Mark Scott what messaged me and was like, oh, so I'm guessing you're doing world trials then. And I was like, oh, when are those? And he was like telling me the dates and everything. I'm like, oh, maybe I should do those then. So I'm like messaging Nick and I was like, do I like stick around and do the world trials? He was like, yeah, you should do. Yeah. So I really need to give it more thought. I guess I'll see how I go on at the Birmingham Diamond League and hope that I can pull off another really good race there. And yeah, we'll go from there. I think I'm still pinching myself, to be honest. I'm like back doing these kind of times. So I just need to take it one step at a time.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy when you just break through, you know, such a barrier that you thought you'd kind of never be at.
Yeah, I didn't. Like, I think I really have always believed that I can be good. Like, I've known it's there and I've been so patient, and now it's finally has happened. It's just like, it's hard to believe because it's been so long, but at the same time, I've like, the reason why I've carried on for this long out, like with all the setbacks, is because I knew something good was there, and like, I just had to like figure it out and do it. Like, but yeah, it's been a long time in the making, but it's good to be back.
Yeah. It really sounds like you've kind of made it happen though, you know, like when you went out to Australia, you reached out to Nick. A lot of people maybe wouldn't have had the balls to do such a thing, so I think there's quite a few lessons there for quite a few people. It's kind of, yeah, what's the worst going to happen? Someone can just say no, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I could have easily just packed it in, but if you know, like, if you really believe like if there's something else there, you've got to just go it all in no matter what. Just keep going, just keep showing up, because the results will come.
Yeah. So beyond this season, you know, just before we round it off, beyond this season, are you going to think about doing the marathons again? Or now, have you had a chat with Nick to say, you know, maybe we should stick around for the fives, you know, for more than a season, maybe the tens? There could be some success there on the track.
Yeah. I think now I'm just going to go all in on the track for this season, obviously. But later on, I do love the roads. Like, I'll definitely be doing some half marathons. And soon enough, I do 100% want to go all in and to go, like, do a really good debut marathon. and I want to make sure it's special. So I want to like go all in on when I'm ready to finally do that debut. But no, it definitely excites me. I just think the marathon, like all my training partners around me, a lot of them are world-class marathon runners. So just speaking with them and seeing what they go through and how they talk about it, it's just inspiring to me. And I do, yeah, I definitely want to go all in one day.
Well, yeah. Have you spoke to Charlie Perdue much? Have you got
yeah, training exactly. Persons? Yeah. She's incredible. Like she's also, I don't know why I didn't mention her before. Like she's just an amazing. Yeah. I know I'm like naming all these Australian athletes. Sorry guys. But no, I do. This summer we've got some incredible athletes all over, haven't we? We're very lucky. We're very fortunate. But Charlotte Perdue have been one of them, the major ones. Yeah. She's inspiring and her trait. Yeah. I'm very, yeah. I did do some sessions with her. But obviously COVID stopped that for a while, so she couldn't get out for a bit, but she came back. She was here not too long ago and we were doing some sessions, and then she's a jet setter though, isn't she? So she was then going to Japan and now she's in America. I can't keep up, so
oh goodness, is she? I didn't realize, but yeah, lots of training.
She's doing Boston, so
oh right, oh okay, so yeah. Well, that's obviously on Monday, so
yeah.
Yeah, obviously next commies well recently announced is Australia again, 2026. So could that be one for the marathon?
Oh guys, I'm so excited about this. I actually couldn't believe it. Like I'm obviously out of the loop here as well, because I had no idea when that came out the other day. It was my partner what rang me and it was like, you do know that commies is going to be here in a few years in Victoria. And I was like, oh no, like show me, like tell me, like, and then he sent me the link and oh yeah, I'm so happy about that. Like
it's like two home commies back to back for you these days.
I know, literally. Do you know what though, I can't believe like the last commies was the Gold Coast, now it's Birmingham, England. Like it's a bit of a difference, but no, it'll be good because it's I guess it's home, isn't it? You can't beat that.
Well, you know, I hope you're not throwing shade over Birmingham, England.
not at all.
Sheffield would be better, would it?
And it's apparently a new track, so.
It is a brand spanking new track. It looks very good. Looks like a good stadium and stuff. So I think it will be a success.
Yeah, definitely.
Sure. Well, look, it's been great to chat to you today on the pod. Thanks so much for coming on and best of luck for the Diamond League and then the trials as well.
Oh, thank you guys. I really appreciate that. And thanks for having me on.